Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time to get into our annual event here on Super Bowl Sunday. We have always done soup. Get it? Super Bowl Sunday. For the past, I'm going to say at least 15 years we've done this here on our Sunday show. Talk about, you know, it always happens in the winter in Chicago. It always happens when it's super cold, although it's not too bad today. But, you know, we're going to have some pretty cold days where an amazing bowl of soup is really going to hit the spot. And joining us to help us with that a little bit today, Leslie Kelly, who is a senior food writer for one of our favorite sites, allrecipes.com. Happy soup, and I mean that S-O-U-P, Soup Herbal Sunday. Leslie, welcome to WGN.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Nice to have you on with us here today. Are you into, if I'm talking with a food writer or a food editor, I got to find out what you're doing for Super Bowl Sunday before we, you know, talk soup here. Do you have something special lined up for your Super Bowl party?
Is there a game today? Absolutely. I am doing a recipe that I came up with for the site. It's called Memphis Pulled Pork Barbecue Tachos.
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Just hearing pulled pork and Memphis in the same sentence is already, that's all I need to hear.
It's kind of, I lived in Memphis for a few years, and it's kind of my tribute to the Rendezvous, which is the famous barbecue joint there. They're famous for their ribs.
Yeah, I've been there.
Awesome. What'd you eat there?
Of course I had ribs while I was there. I couldn't have been more touristy.
Of course you had the ribs, but I
had ribs, and then I went across the street to the hotel that has the ducks in the lobby.
The Peabody.
The Peabody Hotel, right.
Yeah, I bet you didn't have the Rendezvous nachos, though. Those are kind of under the radar.
All
and
right.
So this was my kind of twist on it, and using tater tots instead of tortilla chips.
Nice.
And you just pop it into the oven, and it gets all nice and cheesy and gooey and porky, and everybody grabs a fork, and you know, it's kind of mayhem around the pan. But
wait. In the pan, what you've got? Are you doing like a base of tater tots in the pan?
Yes.
And then on top of that is what?
Is the pulled pork?
Okay.
And the cheese, you know, a little peppery Monterey Jack,
then.
You pull it out of the oven. You put some green onions and some jalapeno, pickled jalapeno peppers, and maybe a little cabbage if you're feeling like you need a little healthy boost.
Right. That's very Memphis. That's very Memphisy, putting like a little coleslaw-ish, thing on your pulled pork.
That's right.
Very nice.
Right.
Oh, that's nice, and,
yeah,
and very easy to assemble. Also, I would think.
Exactly. Yes.
Leslie's recipe is up at allrecipes.com for that. But so let's talk some soup. Is there anything better? There really is not. And, you know, in our cold Chicago weather in the wintertime, a nice, really delicious homemade bowl of soup. Wow. It's life-changing.
I was listening to you guys talking about Molly Ringwald in the 80s, and I think that a lot of people just feel very nostalgic when they sit down to a bowl of soup because it reminds them of mom or grandma or somebody taking care of them. It's very warm and nurturing, and,
yeah,
you know, you feel loved when you're eating a bowl of soup. But, you know, in our modern hectic workaday world, you know, that's a little bit harder to accomplish. So a lot of people have kind of come up with some recipes that are quick and easy, and you can put them together when you come home from work. Or we also, on the site, we have almost 200 slow cooker soup recipes.
Yeah.
And slow cooker is, as you probably know, is so hot this time of year. It's just,
right,
you know,
And really
kind of
fell out of favor a little bit. You know, the whole slow cooker crock pot thing, you know, became like such a 70s thing and went out of style. It is one of the most practical things that you can have in your kitchen, especially, you know, if you're juggling kids and, you know, work and, you know, a million different things. You can put all your stuff in there before you go to work and have a delicious meal, you know, when you come home. It makes really a lot of sense. I know on the site that you've got some soups that can be ready in 30 minutes. What are some of those? Because that's half an hour to get ready. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, we have always, you know, again, thinking about the people who are, you know, kind of desperately figuring out what to put on the table for dinner. And, you know, some of these are, you know, pasta based with chicken broth. And, you know, I am a big believer in getting together a huge stockpile of chicken broth, maybe on a Sunday. Again, you know, putting a few things in reserve in your pantry, in your fridge, so you can finish it off during the week.
Right.
And another soup that cooks very quickly is red lentil soup. I mean, red lentils cook, you know, 20 minutes, and put some curry powder in there, put some veggies in there, and you have a really hearty soup for dinner.
Yeah, that sounds you know, absolutely delicious. So what else are you putting in there? Like some celery, some carrots, some onions.
Celery, carrots, onions. I love to put in squash also. Mm, again, nice. When fall comes around and you have all those beautiful different types of squash, I will bake up a couple at a time and chop some up and stick some in a baggie and put it in the freezer. Again, so you have some tricks to fall back on.
Right,
that you can,
yeah, smart.
You know,
I love one of my favorite soups, talking about curry, butternut squash soup is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to you don't have to like load it up with cream and all that, because it's got such a nice thick texture anyway. And just a little dash of curry powder in there is amazing.
Yeah, I've actually got another recipe on the site that I created for my daughter when she went away to college. Super easy, and it is a vegan recipe. So it uses coconut milk instead of cream.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's a nice substitution. I'll bet the tastes of the two mixed together are great. You have a Tex-Mex soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
I mean,
that sounds good.
I think people are just absolutely crazy about, you know, the bold flavors of, you know, the Taco Tuesday is, you know, has become a national holiday, which I love. And there's, you know, really nothing easier than putting together, you know, kind of a tortilla type soup. You know, this is one where I know people maybe frown on, hey, let's open six cans of something and put it together and call it dinner. Well, you know, that's the way a lot of people cook in this country. I mean, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but
yeah, I wouldn't tell any of my 5-star chef friends that, but I got news for you. That's the way most people cook in this country.
That's right. And there, you know, I think it really works well for convenience. And you finish it off maybe with some fresh ingredients, some chopped green onions, and maybe some radishes, and a, you know, a little bit of sliced avocado, and you know, you've got something there.
Yeah, I mean, really, and it doesn't have to be overly super processed. I mean, canned soup can be delicious. If you take a look at the sodium content on most canned soup, it's through the roof. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because you can do what Leslie's saying by having a few basic ingredients. You know, almost every store has low sodium beef broth, chicken broth, vegetable broth now, lower sodium versions of it that you can add to and create some really pretty healthy and 10 times more delicious recipes than, you know, prepared canned soup. Not that difficult.
Yeah. I saw a presentation a few years ago by the New York chef, Marco Cannaro. He's got a restaurant called Hearth, and he is the guy who kind of brought this whole bone broth revolution with, you know, saying that by slow simmering bones you can bring out these the collagen in the bones, which is a naturally healing, soothing component that helps, you know, helps you feel better. And I think people maybe think that it takes a long, long time to achieve those kind of results. But I make a bone broth in like a half an hour. I just, you know, throw some chicken parts in a big stock pot with some water and salt and a splash of vinegar, because vinegar coaxes out those good properties. And it's really not that big a deal.
So you're doing this with chicken and not bone marrow, things like that.
Well, you know, chicken has bones too. I know we all like to think of it as, you know, the boneless
right.
nuggets that we
right.
We
what?
Love,
but... What? What are you talking about? That there is something besides McNuggets? What?
Actually, if you go to an Asian supermarket and you find packages of chicken feet. Though that is some of the best stuff to put in your broth.
Really?
Give it, yes.
For
it
flavor.
It really gives it that. It's more about the silky texture that it brings. It brings out, again, this collagen property that makes it almost, you know, when you see a stock in the fridge and it's kind of almost looking like a jello.
Yeah.
That's almost like a gelatin in
kind
there.
Of velvety
yeah.
looking,
so,
right, yeah.
And that is what heals your body when you're sick. That's why grandma made you chicken noodle soup.
To make you feel better. You didn't know that grandma was feeding you chicken feet.
Oh, well.
Thank goodness grandma had the sense to take those out of there before she started. But I do not want to be looking at any chicken toenails right before I eat.
No.
But I mean, you know, the bones and parts of a chicken, everybody knows that, you know, they're just, you know, super flavorful when you include them, especially when you're making a stock, something like that.
Exactly.
What's a really good stick to your ribs kind of soup recipe? I know I was looking at your site and you've got like a broccoli cheddar. That sounds so good on a you know, if it's 10 below zero outside.
That is definitely one of the more popular. And if you notice that there's a copycat Panera cheddar broccoli soup
right.
that people go crazy for.
Similar to the broccoli cheddar served at a popular franchise restaurant chain.
Yes, exactly. You know what I love is chowder. And people may take issue with defining chowder as a soup, but it's a kind of soup, don't
definitely,
you think?
Definitely it's a soup, of course.
And here in the Northwest, we love seafood. And, you know, it's not just about clams. You know, you can add smoked salmon to your chowder. You can add shrimp. You can add... you know, all sorts of things. You can add some crab meat on top to make it look, you know, to make it really hearty. I love that. And again, another really, really hearty soup, and it may go against the definition of what soup is gumbo. I love, love, love gumbo.
I also think that is soup, too. I'm sure aficionados would disagree, but you eat it just like a bowl of soup.
Exactly. And if you're in New Orleans... you may eat it with a scoop of potato salad plopped down in the middle of it.
Oh, really?
Something you only see in New Orleans.
Really? I'd never heard that.
Yeah.
I've gone to Cajun restaurants all my life, mostly here in Chicago, a few in New Orleans, and I'm sure I've had gumbo there. I don't think I've ever had it with potato salad in the middle. I love to learn little regional little twists and things like that.
Yeah, it's fun. Another really hearty soup is, you know, split pea soup, especially when you have some maybe some ham hock simmering in there with it, and then you shred the pork, and it gives it such a great kind of salty, sweet flavor.
Right, like a nice smoky flavor also sometimes. And that's one of the – split pea is also one of those soups that really doesn't take that long to cook, right?
It's a little bit longer than lentils. I would you know, give it an hour to kind of really break down those hard
the
legumes.
Peas. Yeah, the legumes.
Right.
The legumes, yes.
The legumes. And it's one of those ones – so many of the soups taste better the next day. And I'm sure if we had a scientist on here, he could explain what that was all about. But you've experienced that, right?
Of course.
I mean, it is.
Of course.
Yeah,
and it's, so, I mean, do we need a scientist to tell us if it's sitting in the refrigerator overnight, the flavors have a chance to kind of meld together, you know, the heat going from heat to cold. You know, chemically, the foods are mixing a little bit. The flavors are mixing a little bit. So when you reheat it, then it begins, all those flavors begin to explode again.
I think you nailed it.
I'm trying to make myself sound a lot smarter than I really am.
You sound very smart.
That's all that's about. Okay, now tell me this. Tell me this, because really, one of my favorite soups, I've never made it at home, because I think it might be way too much trouble, French onion soup. Seems like it would be super easy to make.
Well, if you're really going to do it right, it is one of those soups where you need to get the bones and you need to roast the bones.
Do I need chicken feet in this?
No, you don't have to have chicken feet in this. But it wouldn't hurt.
Okay, all right. I'm warning all my friends and family now, anything that I cook for you in the future may include chicken feet in the future.
I think the key to that recipe is really getting those onions nice and soft and caramelized before you add the stock. And that can go back. We can go revisit that slow cooker for a really kind of set it and forget it. You know, you chop up a bunch of onions and you leave it all day, and then you come home and warm up your broth and add it to the caramelized onions, and you put some bread on top and some cheese and pop it under the broiler, and boom, you've got dinner.
So if I'm doing it without the slow cooker, am I taking the onions and slowly caramelizing them over on the stove?
Yes.
Am I doing this with any kind of onion, or does it make any difference? Because when you said that, I thought I got to get myself some Vidalia onions, those nice sweet onions, and caramelize
those.
You
know what? I mean, I love Vidalia onions. I also love Walla Walla sweets. But I think the sweet onions are just a little bit too sweet for that preparation. Maybe you would want to put in one Vidalia onion to six regular white onions. Or yellow onions. Onions, by their nature, are very sweet. You know, so when you caramelize them, you bring out, you know, that sweetness.
True. That's true. We're bringing out the
sugar. Too much sweetness is gonna overpower the nice broth that you took so long to prepare.
There are literally there are 3,000 soup recipes at allrecipes.com. Go to allrecipes.com, do a search for soups or soups, stews, chili. We didn't even get to chili, which I also consider a soup. There are so many different recipes you'll be able to satisfy yourself for the rest of wintertime. Leslie, such a pleasure to talk to you. I hope we can do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for being the first person ever on my Food Time show to bring up chicken feet. First time in 20 years it's ever come up. that's a distinction that's all yours. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.